Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free.
The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air. Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Very encouraging midterms across the country with evidence that the nation is shifting to the right. Maybe we can hope this sinking ship of state will right itself in 2016. Pray and work. Our teachers used to say, pray as if it all depends on God and work as if it all depends on you. And that's the formula we need today. I'm in Canada, folks. I left Thursday morning, and so I prepared and posted this show on Wednesday. At the Lighthouse, I've been helping our congregation understand biblical principles for effectively responding to the onslaught of the homosexual activists on our culture. Presently, I'm addressing the issue of corporate sponsorship of anti-traditional values, and I'm using the Starbucks sponsorship of the homosexual lifestyle and same-sex marriage as an example. I decided to air part one of an audio CD that we're preparing to distribute to Starbucks stores throughout our area. The working title of the CD is Questions for Starbucks Employees, and I would appreciate any feedback you can give me that you believe will help us make this effort more effective. Oh, and by the way, don't forget to call in to reserve your seat at the Lights On Banquet, which we think is a bargain at $20 a seat. For a great dinner, best tri-tip dinner in Santa Maria, prepared by Have It Wired owner Lou Silva, a chance to win great prizes in two drawings. The first drawing, the God and Gun Clinger Home Defense Kit, which includes a 12-gauge 8-load Mossberg shotgun with pistol grips and fiber optic sights provided by Pat at Pat's Automotive, together with a genuine leather-bound Bible provided by the Lighthouse, and that's worth over $1,000 right there. And then there's a second drawing for a mystery prize provided by John Thermos and Associates worth at least a few $100. And then, of course, a live performance of the Brain Massage Show, which is an awesome event. And all that for a great cause to support the Brain Massage Radio Show. Okay, here's part one of my questions for Starbucks employees. Give it a listen and then call me with any feedback you think will help me make this message more effective. God bless you. And I'll see you Friday at the Lights On Banquet. Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach. All my friends know that I really enjoy a good cup of coffee. And Starbucks is my favorite coffee store. For all sorts of reasons. Recently, I received over $150 in Starbucks gift cards for my birthday, so I guess that tells you all you need to know about my reputation in that regard. I travel a lot, and so it is important to me to know where I can find a good pit stop and get refreshed. And I know what I'm going to get when I walk into a Starbucks. Friendly smiles, attentive service, a clean, welcoming environment, free Wi-Fi, and that's important when you're traveling, and then, most important of all, a great cup of coffee. And my favorites are either a cappuccino or an Americano. Hey, I even like buying my water there because I feel good about helping people who don't have access to clean water. And since I'm a dad with a son who spent a very active tour in Afghanistan, I always participate with appreciation when Starbucks makes their coffee available to our soldiers during Christmas time. Now, this CD was given to you because you are a Starbucks employee, and I have an important question to ask you. But before we go there, allow me to introduce myself to you. I mean, beyond the fact that I'm a coffee aficionado. And no kidding, I can tell you if coffee is more than 10 minutes old by its smell. I've been married to my first wife for 43 years. I mentioned my son. We have one child. I'm pastor of the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California. I'm an author with two titles to my credit so far, editor of the Intercessor magazine and a radio talk show host for the Brain Massage Radio Show, which is broadcast from Santa Maria, California, to, I'm told, something in the area of 10,000 each weekend, and podcast to, well, the whole world, you know how that is, with internet, but with committed listeners in about 50 countries, over 200,000 feed hits to date, over 10,000 new listeners coming in each month, and over 48,000 plays from our podcast site so far and growing. I'm a guest professor in various colleges, itinerant speaker, and so I stay busy. Let's get to what it is I wanted to talk to you about. My favorite coffee company and the company you work for, Starbucks. As you are probably aware, in 2012, Starbucks CEO Howard Schultz announced that the company would endorse Washington State's referendum that legalized same-sex marriage. The National Organization for Marriage launched a boycott. During the company's next annual meeting, March 20, 2013, a shareholder named Tom Strobar brought up the boycott. He said, quote, "In the first full quarter after this boycott was announced, our sales and our earnings, shall we say politely, were a little disappointing," end quote. Schultz defended his position and said that the decision was not driven by business. He said it was simply right for its people. But the statement that caught my attention the most was this one. Howard Schultz said, quote, "The lens in which we are making that decision is through the lens of our people. We employ over 200,000 people in this company, and we want to embrace diversity," end quote. So my question to you and to all Starbucks employees is this. Does Howard Schultz speak for you? As an employee of Starbucks, have you, well, surrendered your own opinions on political and social conscience issues to the control of Howard Schultz and the board of Starbucks? And how has Mr. Schultz's decision affected you? Does it intimidate you from speaking your mind on this subject, especially if you happen to disagree with him? According to Mr. Schultz, if a shareholder disagrees with his position on this sensitive cultural issue, well, he can sell his shares and go elsewhere. And of course, that's true. But should we understand Mr. Schultz to have that attitude toward perhaps his employees, that if you don't like the position CEO Schultz and the Starbucks board takes on political issues and social issues, then we'll take a hike, find employment elsewhere? I would certainly hope not. Does the attitude expressed by Mr. Schultz to this shareholder reflect his attitude toward others who disagree with him? Well, I hope not. More to the immediate point, does Mr. Schultz speak for all Starbucks employees? Perhaps you agree with him on this issue. But if he takes liberty here, what stops him from maybe taking a position that you don't agree with? And what then? Should Mr. Schultz and the board of Starbucks be making political choices on your behalf without your express approval? After all, he did say the decision was made through the lens of our people, is what he said. Now, and then right away he mentions the 200,000 employees, so we have to assume that the lens he's talking about would be the employees of his company. So according to Schultz, the employees make up the lens. So I guess we need to ask ourselves, what does he mean by this? Did the company circulate a survey of their 200,000 employees and then discover from that survey that, in fact, this was the overwhelming consensus of all Starbucks employees? If he did, I'd like to see that survey. It would be interesting. Assuming that 200,000 Starbucks employees would represent the general population of America, well, at the time Schultz and the board endorsed same-sex marriage, according to the Pew Research Center, only 43% supported same-sex marriage. Now, if Schultz was looking through the lens of his employees, and assuming Starbucks employees are not particularly different from the rest of Americans, then only 43% could have been expected by him to agree with his position. But perhaps the demographic of the employees of Starbucks is somewhat different than the general population. I mean, we know that there's an age discrimination lawsuit being filed against Starbucks right now. And perhaps that's the reason I tried to get data on the average age of Starbucks employees, but found it was just unavailable. And I'm really not a novice at research, let me tell you. But every source I could count on for this sort of information was not giving up that information on Starbucks. Let's just grant that the average age of Starbucks employees is lower than the average age of the general population. And that, by the way, would make a difference, since younger people are more inclined to accept same-sex marriage than older people are. So let's say that the demographics of the Starbucks employees in America is, say, 40% millennials and 40% Xers with 20% boomers. And that sets the lens so that, in that case, just over 51% would be in agreement with Mr. Schultz's position on same-sex marriage. But for the sake of my point, let's go ahead and say it's more like 60% of Starbucks employees genuinely and sincerely agree with Mr. Schultz's position on this matter. Well, that would mean that Starbucks CEO Howard Schultz and the board there of that company has basically dissed the opinions and sensibilities of 40% of their employees. Is that fair? Is that even appropriate? Should the CEO of any company ignore 40% of its employees that disagree with him? But really, did Schultz really consult anyone about this other than himself and his immediate board? Did anyone from Starbucks ask you for your opinion? Does your opinion really matter? Or did Schultz simply hide for cover behind this business of looking at this decision through the lens of his employees? Or perhaps it's even worse than that. I mean, is Mr. Schultz actually so arrogant that he assumes everyone who works for him will support his political opinions, whether they like it or not? I mean, how does he think this makes some people feel who don't agree with his business? How does your CEO's decision to identify the Starbucks brand with same-sex marriage affect you? Do you feel pressure to accept this political position? I mean, do you feel like you might not be welcomed in the Starbucks community, the Starbucks family, unless you agree with same-sex marriage? How many of you Starbucks employees have felt pressure to hide your true beliefs in order to keep your job? Well, I hope none. But let me ask you this. Are you okay with the CEO of the company you work for identifying the brand you are required to wear and represent as an employee with his personal political position or sociological position on matters like this, especially when you had no part in the decision? Are you okay with Schultz and the board deciding for you? I mean, literally forcing you to be publicly identified with his political beliefs, whether you like it or not. I mean, when you put on the smock and when you wear the logo and so on, and you're identified by that with this whole gay agenda thing, are you really comfortable with that? I mean, he said the decision was made through the lens of his employees. You are an employee. Am I supposed to assume that when I walk into a Starbucks that every Starbucks employee I meet supports same-sex marriage and endorses the homosexual lifestyle and is on board with the gay agenda? I mean, how does same-sex marriage look to you? I suppose if you agree with same-sex marriage, you might not have any problem with any of this. But what's going to happen if he takes a position you don't agree with? In any event, speaking for myself, I wouldn't like it if my boss forced me to represent his personal political point of view, even if I agreed with it. I think that's my decision, not his. And I have another question. Are Christians not welcome to work at Starbucks? I mean, at least Christians who hold to a different worldview from Mr. Schultz on this particular subject, are Christians not welcome to shop at Starbucks? Would he say to me, for example, that, well, just shop somewhere else? I mean, is that his attitude? What message are we supposed to take from that attitude expressed by the CEO of the company that you work for and that I enjoy so well? Am I to assume Mr. Schultz does not want me to shop at his stores because I disagree with his position on this or some other subject? Should Christians assume Mr. Schultz does not want them employed by his company? What does that say about his whole premise supporting the decision in the first place? I mean, he said he wants to support diversity. That is the reason he gave underpinning his decision. Well, does that diversity include diversity of opinions about same-sex marriage? Apparently not. Let's talk about respecting diversity. Do you respect diversity? Apparently, Mr. Schultz does not respect diversity at all. I mean, really, when he decides to identify all of his employees with his personal political position without consulting them. And then, second to that, apparently he does not regard anyone in his company who disagrees with his opinion on this matter as deserving of any consideration. And that very likely involves close to 40% of Starbucks employees. I mean, out of 200,000 people, that would be 80,000 employees. And even if you just reduce it to 30%, you're talking 60,000 employees that are just ignored, whose concerns are irrelevant. And then, what exactly does respecting diversity mean anyway? Not all opinions are worthy of respect. Mr. Schultz certainly believes that, or he would not have disregarded the opinion of a minimum of between 60 and 80,000 people in his employ. And you know what? I actually agree that not all opinions are worthy of respect. I don't think the opinion of militant Islam that Israel has no right to exist in her land is a worthy opinion. I don't think the Nazis' idea of exterminating the Jews was a worthy opinion. I don't think Pol Pot's purge or Stalin's purge were worthy opinions or positions. And we could go on and on. So, of course, not every opinion is legitimate or of equal value or worth. So the point is this. It's not about respecting diversity, is it? If it was about respecting diversity, then the opinions of those who disagree would be considered alongside of those who agree with him. It's about promoting his personal agenda. And as a matter of fact, he actually has the right and the power, the authority and so on, to lead his publicly traded company to have its brand identified with the homosexual movement, the gay agenda, and same-sex marriage. Mind you, Starbucks is not the privately owned company of Mr. Schultz, although I think he is a majority shareholder. But his company's publicly traded. And so the question is whether it's right to do it, whether it's ethical to hold thousands of people hostage to his political point of view. An employer has certain responsibilities and must take care not to unduly impose his personal beliefs onto his employees, right? I mean, you can have a right to do something, but that does not mean it's necessarily right to do it. What would you say if a Christian did something like this with a publicly traded company? Come on, be honest. You'd never hear the end of it. It would be considered imposing his views on others, wouldn't it? In other words, it's not about supporting diversity. It's about him using you, putting you in a position that might be uncomfortable and that you might feel is inappropriate, that puts pressure on you to support a lifestyle you find objectionable or to wear a brand that identifies you with the support for that lifestyle. And yeah, like the shareholder, maybe a Starbucks attitude would be, well, no one's forcing you to work here. But is that the right attitude? Is that just? Is that even fair? I mean, should you have to quit your job, especially now in this economy? You know, no, I don't think that's right. You shouldn't have to quit your job just because you disagree with your company's position on same-sex marriage. There are other ways to make your voice heard politely and effectively. And I'll give you some pointers on that in a moment. Let's say that virtually all 200,000 Starbucks employees, the lens through which Schultz made his decision, do support same-sex marriage. Let's suppose that you agree with Mr. Schultz, and for whatever reason, you're still listening to me, and I'm very grateful that you are. Well, I have another question. Is that lifestyle truly worthy of your support? Are you aware of the serious health risks associated with this behavior? I mean, just for sheer human compassion's sake, listen, reports at a conference about STDs indicate that gay men are in the highest risk group for several of the most serious diseases. HPV, that's human papillomavirus, according to the homosexual newspaper The Washington Blade, quote, a San Francisco study of gay and bisexual men revealed that HPV infection was almost universal among HIV-positive men, over 90%. And that 60% of HIV-negative men carried HPV. Well, HPV can lead to anal cancer. According to Dr. Andrew Grulich, most instances of anal cancer are caused by a cancer-causing strain of HPV. And hepatitis is a potentially fatal liver disease that increases the risk of liver cancer. And we've got all kinds of studies that show outbreaks of hepatitis A among MSM, that's men having sex with men, showing they are a recurring problem in many large cities in the industrialized world. Hepatitis B, a serious disease caused by a virus that attacks the liver. The CDC reports that MSM are at increased risks for hepatitis B. Hepatitis C, an inflammation of the liver that can cause cirrhosis, liver failure, liver cancer. And although less so than hepatitis A and B, MSM remain at increased risk for contracting hepatitis C as well. The CDC released data showing that male rectal gonorrhea is increasing among homosexuals amidst an overall decline in national gonorrhea rates. The Archives of Internal Medicine found that homosexuals acquired syphilis at a rate 10 times that of heterosexuals. GBS, that's gay bowel syndrome, is an inflammation of the rectum and colon that causes pain. Bloody rectal discharge and rectal spasms are associated with STDs such as gonorrhea, chlamydia, herpes, syphilis, and the studies show these are all widespread among homosexuals and directly related to their behavior and their lifestyle. And some of these pathogens appear only to be sexually transmitted among MSM. And then there are other problems. We have reports showing that the incidence of domestic violence among gay men is nearly double that found in the heterosexual population. From an article, Men Who Beat the Men Who Love Them, Battered Gay Men and Domestic Violence. And then there's a high incidence of mental health problems among homosexuals and lesbians, reported in the Journal of Consulting and Clinical Psychology. If you have a study of twins that examined the relationship between homosexuality and suicide, published in the Archives of General Psychiatry, and this study found that homosexuals with same-sex partners were at greater risk for overall mental health problems and were 6.5 times more likely than their heterosexual twins to have attempted suicide. And all of this contributes to a reduced lifespan for homosexuals. A study published in the International Journal of Epidemiology on the mortality rates of homosexuals concluded that they have a significantly reduced life expectancy. And, you know, someone says, hey, there are exceptions to all of this. Well, yeah, I know. And not everyone who smokes gets lung cancer. But we don't promote it. I mean, for pity's sake, discourage this behavior, if for no other reason, for compassion's sake. And doesn't it seem eerie to you that the Bible warns us that those who practice this behavior will receive in themselves the judgment of nature and of nature's God for that behavior? Romans chapter 1, 26 and 27 says, "For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet." Folks, it's against nature. I mean, really, it's obvious that a man is designed to be the sexual companion of a woman. Everything in nature tells you that if you force anything to act consistently contrary to its nature, it will break it down. It'll self-destruct. It's against nature's God. You know what? Whether or not you're a Christian, listen, if you promote this lifestyle, you're not only contributing to the destruction of the lives of those who engage in homosexual behavior, but you're also taking a position that's contrary to God, our Creator. But don't homosexuals have a right to marry? I mean, we take human rights very seriously, don't we? Our Declaration declares that all men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Well, aren't homosexuals merely pursuing happiness as they see it? The idea that homosexuals have a right to marry is a very new thing. In fact, there are a lot of human rights being talked about today that were never before seen as human rights in the past. For example, the idea of a right to health care, or a right to food and a right to shelter, along with a right to homosexuals to marry. Well, let's consider this from the point of view of a human rights issue. What are rights? One of the fundamental characteristics of a right is the fact that all legitimate human rights place limitations on others. However, an illegitimate right does not only put a limitation on others, it actually places an obligation on others to act in a positive way that can result in violating their rights. For example, take this right to marry. Not only is it being used to restrict others from refusing to allow them to marry, but it's being used to force people to participate in it, even if they disagree with it, even if it's a matter of personal conviction and conscience for them. Genuine rights aren't like that. For example, my right to free speech, it gives me the right to speak, but it doesn't require you to change your speech or to participate in my speech. For example, my right to speak does not obligate you to hear me or to listen to me. What it does do, however, is it does restrict you from controlling what I say and how I say it. Well, the homosexual's right to marry is being used to oblige people who oppose gay marriage to participate in gay marriage, in violation of their conscience and in violation of their right to free expression and free association and free speech. And so it's amazing how many fundamental, genuine, inalienable rights are being compromised by this idea that homosexuals have a right to marry. And of course, I mean a right to marry one another in a homosexual setting, to change the meaning of the word marriage to include same-sex marriage. That's really what we're, because they've always had the right to marry. Nobody says a homosexual can't marry somebody. It's what we're talking about here, though, is changing the meaning of the word marriage. And that brings me to the conclusion here. Finally, at the end of the day, homosexuals are not going to be content to have the right to marry. And that is partly because of the obsessive nature of the homosexual lifestyle. But it's also because, in fact, homosexual marriage is, well, it's impossible. The Creator defined marriage as when a man leaves his mother and father, cleaves to his wife, they become one flesh. And that's never going to occur with a homosexual marriage. It's not anatomically possible, nor is it spiritually possible. Homosexuals will never achieve in their unions the bond that is available to heterosexual couples. All right, let's wrap it up. If you are among the thousands of Starbucks employees that does not agree with Mr. Schultz's position, and you have been made to feel uncomfortable wearing the Starbucks brand since he has identified it with the promotion of same-sex marriage and the homosexual agenda, you should not have to quit your job. You should do your job better than ever before. Really. I mean, in the spirit of blessing those who curse you and doing good to those who despitefully use you. However, you should be the salt and light in your dark corner of the world. So bear these things in mind. First, you have a right to object to same-sex marriage, and you should object to it for humanitarian reasons and for reasons of religious conviction. Second, Starbucks cannot discriminate against you for your beliefs. And if you believe you have been discriminated against for your objection to same-sex marriage, please contact us and we will put you in touch with organizations that can help you. You should let Mr. Schultz know that he does not speak for you, and this should be done politely, but you should make it clear that you do not appreciate him suggesting that you had any part at all in this decision, that, you know, the lens he spoke of must include you as an employee, and you don't agree with that position. I think it would be appropriate to include a statement to the effect that you don't think it's appropriate for him to presume to speak for his employees or to force them to publicly promote a lifestyle by wearing his brand that at least some who work for him disagree with passionately. And fourth, you should let your friends and neighbors know that just because Starbucks endorses same-sex marriage, that does not mean you do. And then call us and get copies of this audio CD to distribute to your Starbucks friends and family. Send one to Mr. Schultz and to each member of the board. Post it freely on Facebook and any other public social media. I mean, get the word out. You know, six, you might even want to start a Starbucks Employees for Traditional Marriage social media movement. I would strongly recommend that. And finally, all of this means that while I don't think you need to quit your job, in fact, don't retreat, charge. I do strongly encourage you to take a stand where you stand. He did, so why shouldn't you?
Lighthouse Baptist Church, 1310 West Bed Arabia Road, Santa Maria. Go to santamarialighthouse.org. Call 805-347-9887 for more information.
Okay, now, part two presents the gospel clearly and completely. If you want to hear the complete audio, go to our website at www.santamarialighthouse.org. Click on resources in the menu along the top of the page, scroll down to sermons, and then select Issachar Report from the drop-down menu. Give me a call, let me know what you think, and any suggestions to make the message more effective will be welcome. God bless you. God save America. And I'll see you in church.
Lighthouse Baptist Church and the Brain Masseur invite you to this year's Lights On Banquet. Reserve your seat for the November 13 Lights On Banquet. The God and Gunclinger Home Defense Kit will be awesome this year. Call 1-888-770-8000 to register right away. Call right away to reserve your seat at the Lights On Banquet, 1-888-770-8000. And don't forget Lou's succulent tri-tip meal and the live performance of a brain massage radio show. Seats are limited, so call today.
Thank you for listening. I would like to extend to you my personal invitation to visit the Lighthouse Baptist Church this coming Sunday. We have a full Sunday school program and nursery is available. Bible study begins at 9:30 a.m. and Sunday morning preaching service starts at 10:45 a.m. Our hospitality hosts look forward to greeting you with a complimentary cup of coffee or water, some treats, and you'll receive a free copy of one of my books. You'll meet a lot of new friends. You'll be inspired by the worship and encouraged and your faith strengthened by the preaching. Each Sunday night at 6 p.m., we have a time of prayer for our nation, followed by a relevant message addressing issues of concern to all God-fearing patriots called the Issachar Report. After the Sunday evening service, we meet in our fellowship hall for some food and fellowship, and it's a great time for me to get acquainted with our visitors and to answer any questions you might have about the church or the message. On Wednesday night, we offer a one-hour prayer meeting and preaching time. It begins at 7 p.m. The children can participate in Lighthouse Kids, and of course, nursery is available for the little ones for all services. Again, thank you for listening, and I'll see you in church.
For a complete brain massage experience, tune in Saturday at 12 noon